So let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I was thinking about the theme of the conference. It's equipped for the perilous times. Maybe a short thought on that. Let's look at the first verse. But realize this. I think the three-letter word, if you remove that word from the Bible, all the places where but comes, the Bible will become meaningless. Right? But the mercy of God. But realize this, that in the last days, perilous times or difficult times will come. The word peril means it's a source of danger. Suppose if there is a electrical wire and it is not insulated, electricity is passing through it and the children are playing next to it. It is a source of danger, right? The word perilous here means there are different meanings to it, and we studied about that meaning in its application. One of the meaning is that which can reduce the inward strength. That is a perilous time. It is a time which is very difficult to bear without any definitions and doctrines and the body life. And it is a difficult time. It is a fierce time. That is what Apostle Paul is talking about. And he says that in the last days, difficult times not may come, but will come. The verb will is in the infinitive mood. It speaks about not one of a potential possibility. It might come, it may not come. It is not that. That verb in the infinitive mood speaks about the statement of reality. That's it. It will come. God is saying, don't live in the fantasy that it may not come. The Lord is saying that it will come. It is completely a statement of reality. The word realize is again a verb. It is in the imperative mood, which means the tone of God is that you must hear to this, that there is going to be a perilous time that will come. I'm not lying, it will come. And I want you to pay 100% attention. I'm talking in the imperative mood that you must pay attention to it, that in the last days, the difficult times will come. You can't give your deaf ear to it, and you can't blink over these things. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. But how are we going to be equipped for the perilous times? And of course, the chapters are not inspired, but Apostle Paul is beautifully leading and ending the chapter, mentioning two times the word equipped. In verse 17, a man of God may be equipped. And again equipped, both are the same words. Completely made fit, artios. Completely prepared, totally ready, And if you notice the previous verse, it is by the word of God we will be equipped. All the scriptures are inspired by God, and it is 100% profitable for teaching. We will be completely equipped by it. It is for our reproof, we will be completely equipped by it. We will be made fit. We will be a perfect man. Not in the sinlessness of it, but totally being taught by God how we have to be in this time. And the word of God is benefitable for our correction, and it will train us in the righteousness, to walk in God's righteousness, as we heard. Whenever God speaks about the last days and the perilous times, He characterizes those times. Meaning, He defines the characters of the time. He defines the phases of those times. It may have different phases, right? Grace has multi-phase. It is suitable for any trial that you go through. There is no trial for which grace color cannot match. So the Lord describes the phases of this time. So the various, I studied quite a bit on that, spending the last week. And He speaks about the sinfulness of the time. That is one of the character. No? The intensity, the hideousness of the sin that will be prevalent. And you see here, for men will be lovers of self, in verse 2. Selfish, lovers of money, which means they will be fond of silver. They will be boastful. They will have a pretentious lifestyle. They will be arrogant, proud. They will be revilers, evil speakers. They will be disobedient to their parents. Unthankfulness, that is like one thing that you would see. Not being thankful to what God has done in their life. They will be unloving, going against the natural affections. Irreconcilable, malicious gossips, meaning false accusers. Accusing the true spirit-filled body of Christ. Without self-control. Right, claiming a false liberty. Brutal haters of the hideousness of the sin. That is one of the way God puts the perilous times. And He mentions the sinfulness of it so that we will not be taken over by it, but we would be strong in the grace of God. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So He mentions the sinfulness of the times so that we would stay against it. And then he mentions about the misery of this time. It is really going to be painful so that we would stay in it by the power of God. And then He mentions many places, even in 1 Timothy chapter 4, that the Spirit expressly speaks, in the sense the infinitimoity, it will come. He mentions the dangers of this time. He mentions the apostasy of this time. He mentions the deceptions of this time so that we would put the word of God in our remembrance, so that we would be completely equipped. So He mentions the sinfulness of this time so that we would stay against it. He mentions the misery of the time so that we would stay in it by the power of God. He mentions the deceptions, dangers and apostasy of this time so that we would stay through it. But what I am going to speak is the hypocrisy, or how do you pronounce hypocrisy? The hypocrisy of this time. I want to bring that point out in this message. We have the various phases of this time, right? Let's continue reading it. Treacherous, they will be betrayers. Verse 4, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. I'm going to focus on verse 5. In the perilous time, there is one of the characteristics which was very much prevalent during the times of Christ, that is hypocrisy. Holding a form of godliness, but totally denying the true power thereof. How are we going to equip against these men? Just avoid these guys, that's it. Don't even reason with these guys. Is it not simple in verse 5? Avoid such men. They hold a form of godliness. Can you imagine that? And by profession, take the name of God, but they are not connected to the true power of it. They will portray a thirst for knowledge. It says in that they will be ever learning, but they would never point themselves to the precise categories of truth. But there will be amazing thirst for knowledge. I want to know, I want to know, I want to know. But they will have a perfect form of godliness. In Matthew chapter 16, they came to Jesus Christ. I really want to know, can you please perform a sign? Jesus Christ called them, you guys are adulterous, evil generations. And then he said, watch out the hypocrisy of these guys. 11 of the Pharisees and Sadducees to the disciples. And people came after Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ said to them in John chapter 6 verse 26, you are not coming after me because of the signs that I have performed. In the outward, oh, come on, amazing guys. They walked miles to follow Jesus Christ. What a godliness they show forth. Jesus Christ said, you simply follow me because the bread that you ate. Watch out. When he mentions about the hypocrisy of this time, he says, watch out and beware of it. There would be a form of godliness in Luke chapter 18, verses 11 and 12. I pay tithe like the Pharisees prayed. Fast twice a week. The same Jesus Christ that I'm talking about. But the evil part of it is that they are not connected to the true power of it. I really love what the Word of God says about Lot's life. We all know Lot spent his life in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? It says in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 8, his soul was torn apart, that is the word. His soul went through a tremendous torture. Can you imagine soul going through a torture? His soul was completely vexed because of three things. It says in 2 Peter 2:8, he saw what he shouldn't be seeing. Point number one, he heard what he shouldn't be hearing. Point number two, he lived in the midst of people with whom he should not be associating. Avoid such men as this. Is it not God very clear in this communication? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. I'm speaking in the statement of reality and you must hear to it. I'm talking in the imperative mode. Avoid such these guys. Holding a form of godliness but denying the true power of it. Avoid such men. In the last days, perilous times will come. The doctrine is profitable for teaching. Avoid these guys. The soul of Lot vexed. It was torn apart because of his wrong associations in Psalm chapter 1. The word avoid is apotripo, which means show your back. I'm thankful for the pulpit. I hope you got the joke. Show your back. Show your back. Only one time it comes. You show a different color to these guys. You turn yourself. And this kind of turning is not in God. James chapter 1 verse 17. In his faithfulness to us. There is no turning or variance of shadow in terms of his blessing. But when it comes to this, when they smell like God, but they are not connected to the true power of it, you're not following because of godliness, You ate the bread. That is why. You evil and adulterous generations, I'm not going to give you any more sign to you. This is one of the character that was prevalent during the times of Christ. If you read through the Gospels, you will see. They would come to Christ as if they are jealous for the law. They would display an attitude as if they want to learn all that Christ wants to teach. But they will be waiting to point. The word perilous times, it is hard to bear. Also, it is hard to walk with a clear conscience. That is the meaning of it. The devil would put illegitimate guilt as if like, no, we are indebted to these people. Avoid such men as this. I want to bring in one scripture illustration that is in John chapter 8 and then close this portion. You would see a crowd that is like highly jealous for the law. As if like, no, they want to, if only you could give them the law as clear as possible, they would obey it. What a form of godliness, right? So they come in. I like this scripture portion, John 7:53 to 8 verse 11. In my Bible, there was a parenthesis. I wanted to know about it, studied. And some scholars believe that it is not in this portion. It was given as a postscript at the end of John's Gospel. But I really love this portion. Look at John chapter 7 verse 53. The zeal for Christ is really amazing. As we heard in the introduction, Christ never put premium in his sinlessness. But he put premium in his faith towards the Father, in his humanity. If only there is one man who is legitimate to put premium upon his sinlessness. Actually, if he had done it, it would be sinful. But it was Christ. He never put premium upon his sinlessness or self-righteousness. But he put premium upon the walk that he had with the Father. And after an amazing portion John chapter 7 verse 28, during the feast time, many times we see Jesus Christ sitting down and teaching, right? Look at John 7:28. Jesus Christ stood. It's John chapter 7 verse 37, not 7:28. Jesus Christ stood and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me." The word there is like he proclaimed. He was not teaching anymore. He was not teaching that. He proclaimed, "I am the solution. I am the Savior." And then they tried to arrest him, and the crowd is not successful in arresting. And after that session, in 7 verse 53, everyone went to his home. 8 verse 1, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. That is really godliness. Right? He was a holy stranger. Everyone went to his home. But Christ went to the creator of the entire universe. He did not go to his home. Matthew chapter 8 verse 20 speaks about the Son of Man had no place to. Probably he went to the frequent place, that is Garden of Gethsemane. He went to the Mount Olives. And early in the morning, he came to the temple again. Can you imagine that? Look at the zealous for the Father's house. He knew that they were planning to arrest, but the next day he is there in the same place. He came again to the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. It is the customary. They would go to the outer court, one of the pillar. They would find the teacher would sit and the disciples would gather and they would exposit the law. And as imagining that one of the pillar, Christ is there and the disciples are gathering and he is teaching about God. Suddenly in that crowd there is a disturbance. What happened? Some people who wanting to know the law. Some people who are jealous for the law. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery and having set her in the center of the court. And they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act of it. Meaning, they caught her fresh. Probably that lady was trying to cover whatever the clothes that she was wearing because of the shamefulness. These guys had no sensitivity to this lady. What is the form of godliness that you are talking about? You are coming to Christ and you are saying, in the law of Moses commanded, the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say? I want to know the Bible. What do you say? False accusers. You are trying to find an opportunity to blame Christ, to trap Christ, to put the spirit-filled body of Christ on trial. Who was on trial, by the way? It was not that woman. It was Christ that was on the trial. But what kind of an intention with which you came? In that day, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Christ asking for a sign so that they can test. What a form of godliness that you are displaying. But you are not connected to the true power. You want to know the Bible through this lady? Or you are putting Christ on the trial? You want to know the Bible through this lady? This lady is kind of cowering, probably sitting. We caught her in the very act of it. Oh, Sabash, you did it. And you let the man go and you brought this lady because you want to know the Bible through this lady. Sometimes Christ cries in John chapter 11 because the people's unbelief. Sometimes Christ did not want to even see these guys because of the attitude that they holding a form of godliness, and he puts his head down. He bows. You know what is the word? John the Baptist uses that word. I don't even worthy enough to bow and untie his shoelace. And Christ is kind of like, my God, how cruel you guys can be. Now Christ, they were saying this to test him, so that they might have grounds for accusing Christ. Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote it on the ground. Imagine that scene again. In a pillar, the disciples are gathering and he was teaching them. These guys came and in whatever message or rap session disturbed everything, wanting to know what the law of Moses has to say about this lady. And Christ is writing on the coat. You don't even have sensitivity to the temple of God. In Matthew chapter 27 verse 5, Judas went into the innermost sanctuary with his money bag. Can you imagine that? And he threw the coins. The word naos meaning like he defiled the innermost sanctuary. What do you want to know from the Bible? What the law of Moses says. You are displaying an amazing, I really want to follow God. In the last days, perilous times will come. You will see the faces that hold. We are not here to judge people, but I'm just saying what the Bible says. But we are here to discern. Hold forth a form of, they display an amazing, ever learning, but never be pointed towards the principles and categories of the truth, which will once and for all set them free. But they want to know the Bible. What is on the trial? It is Christ on the trial. The judges have come to judge Christ. And look at what Jesus Christ says. He bows down and writes with his finger on the ground. And these guys are, hey, Christ is literate, by the way. Right? If only he could, he had written books, two things would have happened. Must have been a hot seller, or otherwise it would be like, you know, one of the old pastors always says, some of the old men of God who pastored years with 10 or 15 congregation, it would be like that. The literary silence of Christ is beautiful, right? The word of God, he is writing, and he is not even wanting to look at these guys, and these guys persist, press upon Christ. But when they persisted asking him, he straightened up. I like one man of God says, Christ wrote two times, right? The first time, this is a divine speculation. The first time he wrote Jeremiah chapter 17. Of course, chapters are not in sky. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 13. All that forsook the fountain of living water will be written on the earth. You guys, I'm writing your name. All that forsook the fountain of the living water, I am the water, 7 verse 38, he who thirsts, will be written on the, I'm not preaching there, I'm proclaiming, I'm saying to you, I'm not teaching, I'm proclaiming, you guys will be written on the earth. And Christ could have responded or reacted in many ways, and Christ could have said, yes, very good. I don't know where I wrote the point. It's very good. You guys are saying Leviticus chapter 20 verse 10 and Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 22. Moses said, or you could, Christ could have even said this way. No, this is like amazing. Moses never said that you should stone only the woman. I'm telling you that Moses said you should stone both the woman and the man. He could have said that, right? He's still right. You want to know the law? Leviticus 20 verse 10 says, not just the woman. Where is the man? Go bring the man. Moses never said that you should only stone the woman. Moses said, both should be stoned. You guys are very scheming that you let the man go, you are bringing the woman. Or Christ could even have said, yes, you guys can go ahead, stone this lady. Whenever you get an opportunity, catch the man. By the way, you know that man is in the crowd. No, I don't know. So catch the man and you stone. He could have said that. But you know what Jesus Christ says? Jesus Christ is beautiful here. Come on, let's have race. Let's have race in stoning. But one thing is, I want to know who is the first guy that is supposed to stone. And then he says, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first. So many people, let's decide who is going to be the first guy. You have already brought the stones, yet you want to learn the law. You have the stones in your hand, but let's decide who is going to be the first guy. And that guy must be without sin. He spoke to their conscience. And then again he is stooping down, writing Psalm chapter 22, verse 15. O Lord, you have brought me to the dust of the death. I am the one who would be dying for the sins of this lady, and this lady is totally set free by you. Or you can say law and grace. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone. And the woman, where she was in the center of the court, she was not arrested by the law anymore. Beautiful, right? She was totally set free by the grace of God. Look at what she says. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. Nobody can call God as Lord, right? And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go, and from now on, sin no more. It's a beautiful picture of one group wanting, the judges were completely judged, right? The woman probably thought that she is going to meet the judge. By the way, she understood that the judge is also Savior. And she was totally set free, standing in the court. She was not arrested by the law anymore. I was really thinking about the grace of God, right? And I was thinking about what really kept her there. Thinking about few people in the Bible. Can you imagine Jacob wrestling with God? Hey, come on, Jacob, as you are wrestling with God, knew you are here. Hey, Jacob, you are the supplanter. Hey, Jacob, you are the kind of, you know, a deceiver. Jacob is kind of like having his finger on God. Come on, I have met the throne of grace. Get away from me. That was like this lady. Are you not sinful? I'm not arrested by the law anymore. Completely set free by the grace of God. Jacob is like, unless you bless me, it is like us. We are worst sinners, but we are handling God. God, unless you bless me, that is the grace. We are arrested by, or we are totally set free by the grace of God, standing in the court. I thought that these guys would stay there when they are convicted by the sin. Oh, I perceive you are a prophet, like the woman at the well. Oh, how did you know? God, please have mercy on us. They could have done that, right? Where did they go? They were convicted by the sin and they left, from the elder to the younger. But this lady is also convicted by the sin. But this lady is there. But where are they? They are there only to accuse. But this lady is totally set free. Then I was thinking about the woman at the well. Not even conscious of her sin anymore, she went to tell all the people in Samaria and brought people to Christ. And as she is doing it, and you are like kind of there, hey woman, do you know that you had 5 husbands? Say, come on, shut up. I have met the grace of God. I thought it was a bar of judgment. It is the throne of grace. I'm totally set free. I'm standing in the court, not like these guys. Then I was thinking about Adam and Eve. Right? What did they do? They were hiding. What a privilege that you and I have, that what Adam and Eve failed to do, but we can do it. In our conscience, being void of offense, stand before the throne of grace. Here I am, Lord. What do you have to say? The Lord says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Thank you so much for the grace of God. We don't have to flee anymore, because it is not the bar of judgment, but it is the throne of grace. But you will see an amazing crowd wanting to know the law, precisely what you have to say, because I want to learn through experiment. I brought some more acid and here, water in you. How do you know? Here is very act, fresh one. I want to learn the Bible through this illustration. Christ is kind of, you never understood evil and adulterous generation. You guys are not seeking me because you saw signs. You guys amazingly display a form of godliness, but no substance, not connected. But we are on the other side, like in the perilous times. We are totally set free. We are not completely set free. I'm saying arrested. We are completely set free by the grace of God. As people are accusing, yes, I am a sinner, but I am standing before God. I'm not running. Thank you so much for the grace of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. What you have to teach us and what you have taught us over the years. As the Bible says, be strong in the grace of God. That is one word mentioned. As the day approaches, thank you so much for this ministry and this pulpit, and Pastor Brian, Pastor Benny, Pastor Anil, and the men of God, Lord. Pour down their lives on studying day after day and teaching. And reiterating the principles of truth. Thank you for the tape classes, Bible college, and the new building that you have given to us. We are completely set free in the courts of God. because of the grace of God. Bless the remainder of the day, and visit us in the night, as the psalmist says. Speak to our hearts. Lord, prepare us for the conference. Edify us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.